All right, well, this meeting is called to order. Moving on to adoption of amendment of agenda. I'll need a motion.
We need to amend.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's right. She just told me I got to amend this here. So, okay. So the amendments are, does anybody else have any amendments other than the staff? So what we're going to be doing is moving 12.5, which on your second page of your agenda, which is the memorandum of agreement for wage reopener. We're going to move that to right after number eight, the presentations. And Frank is going to be here too, on the phone too.
Yep.
Okay. And then I discussed with our Julie there. She said just leave it alone. So
she wants to stay.
She wants to stay and
Patty
hear,
to
hear
stay
me talk.
Oh.
Okay. So that's, does anybody else have any amendments that they'd like to?
Want to move the director's review to the end? Are you okay with that? Okay.
Thank you.
You know what? I'll still do move it. We'll move it anyway. What the heck? I'll make amendment. We'll move.
To do.
All right. We'll move the executive director annual evaluation. We'll move that to the last one after in 12.6.
Thank you.
There we go.
Then Patty can go home.
I was thinking of Julie.
No.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the agenda as amended.
All right. I got a motion. Second. I need a second.
Second.
All right. Those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Approval of minutes, 3.1, September 18th, board meeting. Request, I need action on that. Page 3 through 6 on your agenda.
So moved.
I have a motion from Jeff.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. 3.2, personnel committee. And that's on page 7. All right, we have approval. I need a second.
I'll second.
I have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I suppose there should be a discussion, too. Public open forum. Agenda? Okay. All right, moving to 5, the financial statement. Bills and amended. I'll need a motion on that, please.
So moved.
I have a motion, a second, for more discussion.
Second.
I have a second. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Financial reports. Need a motion there, please.
Mr. Chairman, I move approval of the financial reports as emailed.
All right. And do I have a second?
Second.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I emailed questions to Aaron. Aaron gave me the answers I needed. Unless somebody else needs the same, has the same questions, I move to just go ahead and prove it.
Could you summarize?
I'll let Aaron summarize.
Jim had sent a few questions over earlier today. First one was about the $9,148 expenditure to Minnesota Library Association. That was for the MLA registrations in lieu of all staff day. So the money that was going to be used for all staff day was actually used for MLA instead because we didn't have an all staff day this year. Operating fund summary, October workers' comp is over. It's over by 40.7%, and the reason being our 2018 premium came in $5,000 more than budgeted. There was also a customary adjustment to $457 from a 2016 audit of our claims, which they do that every year. And there was also an additional charge of $2,425. That was a difference in premium charge from estimated to actual payrolls. So at the beginning of every year, we send out an estimated payroll that we think is where it's going to be. And then when the payroll comes back at the end of the year or is finished, we send them off an actual, and then they either adjust or charge for the additional premium. Equipment rental and repair, it's over by 46.23%, and that is due to adding the color option on our new copiers that was not incorporated into the budget at the time of rollout. The rollout came after the budget was set. So we expected and anticipated that line to go over due to a lot of use for color copies at the branch level. October bills, Biblioteca, he wanted to know who Biblioteca was. They are one of our largest vendors that we use for purchasing our self-checkout machines, computers, self-checkout payment terminals, so on and so forth. They used to be 3M for those that are unfamiliar with who Biblioteca is. And the last question he had was about the billing for Sartell. And the question came from the Biblioteca question. He wanted to know basically how we break that out and bill Sartell for their portions. And I let him know that Jay and IT, when he gets the bills, he knows what equipment and what maintenance goes to what machines and where they're at. So he tells me if it's a Sartell charge or if it's just a Great River charge for a normal branch. And that's the end of that summary. I take any questions.
Mr. Chairman, I didn't realize that when I sent the questions to Aaron, I thought he just sent them to him privately. It went public wide.
Well, I saw.
Yeah, we got them.
And then he couldn't address the issue back to me because it was public information, so he addressed it tonight.
Yes.
Any more discussion?
Mary. Workers' comp. We had claims.
I can try my best to explain this, but Julie might do a better job. Sure. Hold on.
We had some large claims in 2014 that are still through 2018 were impacting. That should drop off. So I think we've already gotten next year's bill, and it is down quite a bit. So they look at 3 years' worth of claims, 2014, 15, 16, and that's what creates our 2018 premium. So. Like we have had pretty minimal claims in 2015, 16, and 17, so I'm anticipating it should be down quite a bit for the next couple of years.
But the claims were in the nature of safety issues or what?
Employee injuries.
Related to?
A work comp.
Slip and fall?
Actually, I wasn't here at the time, so I don't have a lot of detail on it, but. It would have been an employee-related claim.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any more discussion? Not. We have a motion and second. Those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Consent agenda. Regional Library Telecommunications Aid Program, pages 9 through 17. Booklet. I'll need a motion on that one.
Say again.
I'll need a motion for the Regional Library Telecommunication 6.1.
The application?
Yep, for pages 9 through 17.
I'll do that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second for more discussion.
Second.
Wait, you got a second. Any discussion on that one? Not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else? No. Okay. Great River Regional Board Annual Appeal.
That will be Brianne.
Let me see. Who's that over there? Okay. Good evening, Brianna.
Hi. Yes, Brianne. So as you received in your packet on page 7.1, we have our case for support. For
page 19 through 20. Just to let you know.
Item
7. You said the item.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Page
19. Okay. We have our case for support and also importance of board giving. We have a goal to reach 100% board giving. Currently, we are at 53%. And for our current annual appeal, as of last Friday, November 16th, our total amount in donations is $22,641.
Thank you to the two board members who already passed on their donations to me tonight.
Any discussion? Any more discussion on that topic? Any questions, comments? Mary.
Mr. Chair, just to expand, if you haven't already brought your checkbook tonight, I would urge members to participate. It's just a wonderful endorsement of what we all believe in, or why are we even here. And there are lots of charities that if you don't participate as a board member, you don't get to be a board member. And I know this is different, but I would just encourage all of us so we can say we're at 100% instead of 53.
And there's a handy little envelope in front of everyone, too.
Mr. Chairman, I ask this every year. How many staff, what's the percentage of staff contribution?
For staff contribution, that would be something that I need to look into. It has not been something that we have historically accounted.
I think, Mr. Chairman, I think I've asked that in the past, and Karen's had that, so I'm just be curious at the next meeting.
Good question.
I haven't actually been able to come up with a good answer, partly because the donor database is separate from the employee database, and they haven't been commingled. We do track it to some degree, but it hasn't been done scientifically.
Because I agree, Ms. Chairman, with Mary's point, and again, the board and the staff, yeah, all together, we've got to encourage.
But the staff is on the list also.
We'll be talking for the case for support. Yep. We're
participation.
Talking. Yep. The case for support for staff will be developed in January.
And Mary, I brought my checkbook tonight, and she's got.
Bless you. Hope you got plenty.
I also took Dan's checkbook and wrote out a big one for him.
I have my own right here. I wrote it.
$1,000. Potter. $1,000.
Is that all?
I'm putting it in the ceiling in the envelope.
Let's let Jim talk to please. Authorized money for the library.
And, here's me. I haven't given, okay? I'm right up front here, so I forget, to do this. So I'll get something in the mail to you guys.
You got money to make in your pocket.
Keep on hammering on me, I'm good to go. So.
You got money in your pocket?
Keeps you from getting.
Well, it's got a minimum 25, and I don't carry much cash.
There's another.
Oh, you take a couple dollars?
We'll take anything.
Just leave your Sam's Club card in there. That's all you need.
So we're going to go around, raise your hand, who given and who hadn't. On.
Well, and I really don't care what it is.
No, I think
it's
very important.
That's
a
not
good
important,
point,
but we need to support
yes.
this organization, I believe, as a board. So,
and it will make our fundraising more effective if we can go to those major donors and say, our board gives 100%. Doesn't matter if it's 50 cents or $1,000.
And that's a good point.
$5,000 or
$10,000. If you get some money out of me, I think we can get a few bucks out of all the
board. So it's more
that,
about
so.
The participation. Right, yeah.
So let's have a minimum of a dollar, and then anything above that is gravy. Okay? So I hope we can get everybody
minimum
100%. I think that's a good
bucks.
Pardon? I give that to you, but that check is coming back.
Oh, no.
Cost another 15 to cash it.
Oh, okay. What did you say there, Commissioner? All right.
Well, and I'd just like to add, Mr. Chair, we're doing better. So thanks to Breanne. We're getting smarter and better.
The economy's supposed to be picking up, gentlemen and ladies. I don't know. So that's why you donate more.
No, but that's immaterial. And also to remind whoever is older, like me, you can do a bequest in your will, which we have gotten one this year, which is wonderful. Or you can do from your.
Why do you keep looking at me, Mary?
I'm not. I'm looking at all these.
Randy's definitely feeling better.
I see a trend going here.
Yeah.
Well, there's an opportunity for quality charitable distributions from IRAs and all such. So we have lots of opportunities.
And those people with the sheriff's pensionals, big fat checks they get every month?
Well, if they're 70 and a half, which I am, so
Okay, I think we have enough said on that one. We all know that we've got to get to 100%.
Sorry.
Any more discussion? All right, anything else on that?
No.
All right, we've appealed enough. Presentation, Sartell Locker System Pilot Project. Aaron.
Yes, I'll take that. With me today, I also have Heavenly Christensen. She is our distribution assistant that runs all the behind the scenes of that locker, aside from the IT issues. What we wanted to do was we kind of wanted to just bring you guys up to speed on how the year went in a nutshell and how the system's doing. Some of the things that I also did solicit some input from Mary DiGiovanni over at Sartell, and I'd like to just kind of sum that up for you. Some of the things that are being said is that they are still experiencing delays in delivery, which a lot of the patrons don't understand that it's a capacity issue. Let's see what else. There's a lot of them are big fans of this system, and they wish that the drop box would be outside. I don't know if that's something that we can even do. Let's see here. That they love it, and Mary did kind of sum it all up for us. Our volunteer librarians are going to get more library user input in the coming months, but so far the above responses are consistent with everything that they hear. People love the locker system, they love the community library, and the only input that they would like to figure out how to cut down the backlog wait time. So that's from Mary. Heavenly has been keeping track of statistics over the course of the year. And some of the statistics that we've been keeping track of are unavailable lockers at the time of fill, total patrons that currently have things that need to go out, patrons that have material that were not assigned due to capacity issues, and then a grand total of total patrons assigned at the time. And these are aggregate numbers for the whole entire month. They are not weekly numbers. And something, another added thing that we put in here was the assigned locker ratio. That was Karen's recommendation. And what that ratio basically says is it's the amount of lockers that were filled in comparison to how many were available throughout the month. And the legend kind of explains what those different items are. And I was going to hand this over to Heavenly to kind of talk to you a little bit about the graph down below and some of the changes that occurred throughout the year that might have contributed or that did contribute to the spikes or drops in patron activity.
Aaron pretty much hit on everything except for if you look in March, you'll see a pretty significant spike. That was when we went to the two-day delivery. We started delivering twice a week. And then over the summer, we noticed that it kind of started to go downwards. We believe just because, it was over the summer, maybe people weren't using it as much. But as the school year started, we're noticing that there is an increase. It's starting to go back up. Usage is going back up. So that's pretty much just a little bit of what you can kind of see on the graph. Did you guys have any questions?
So when you talk about backlog, how long is the wait time?
Right now, it's probably about a week. It varies. It really just depends on when patrons pick up their material, how much material is coming in for different patrons. It can vary from a week to 2 weeks is what we've been seeing.
But to be honest, I have started picking up stuff at Wade Park because the Sartell system is just too slow and it doesn't keep up.
Yeah. Hi, Zaria. This is Aaron. A big part of that is the capacity problem. We've got more people wanting to pick things up over there than we have lockers available. There's only 44, and we have, at any given time, I think over on her cart, I noticed there's probably 50 to 60 patrons. And so there's, 15 of them we can't serve until the next drop off. And that's always been the issue. Well, that decision would be in the hands of Sartell, and they have, we've pitched some of the ideas that we came up with, not giving them our recommendations, so to speak, but letting them know that some of the things that could alleviate that backlog would be to add more lockers, add more delivery days, so on and so forth. And they, from my understanding and my feel for what they're telling me, is that they're not really highly interested in doing that at this point.
So then it's a Sartell issue and not a library issue, probably?
That's what I'm gathering from this, yes. I would agree with that.
And if I may, maybe somebody can help, didn't we not discuss, isn't there like a contract we have, like a 2-year trial contract?
3 years.
It's 3 years, yes.
So my guess is they're waiting for this 3 years before they, and Heavenly, maybe you can expand on that, but I think that's what they're kind of waiting before they make another decision because of this trial basis.
That would be my guess, yeah, is they're probably just waiting to see what happens, and then they'll probably make a decision.
Well, we had a change in the mayor, too, and I think 2 council members, so that's a big change for Sartell, too, so we might see something different once the year rolls around.
And also, too, from looking at the system that's out there right now, I think they only have room for maybe a maximum of 2 to 3 more towers. Which would put 30 more lockers in there, which would definitely help, but at a significant cost and significant. I believe each tower is around $6,000 to $10,000, but then you've got maintenance issues on them as well. So maybe they don't want to heavily invest yet, like Randy was saying in Heavenly. But it's definitely popular, and it's still. I mean, during the summer months, we were looking at a 3-week backlog.
So the first stuff that they put, they had a $10,000 donation that made that possible. So Sartell didn't put any money in the lockers. It was a donation by somebody for $10,000 that allowed them to put the lockers in.
Is that right?
That's what my information is. I don't quote me on it, but that's what I was told because I was in the city council meeting where it was decided for that.
I'm unaware of any $10,000 donation towards that. What I do know is they were initially billed like $45,000 for the equipment. Maybe the donation went to Sartell.
Yes.
It didn't. Oh,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I was unaware of that. But we did receive, you know, initial payment of like $45,000. And then once we had all the costs figured out, we billed them for the additional at the very beginning of this. So, yeah, it came to like $60,000 to $70,000 just to set it up and get it running. For 44 lockers. And it became extremely popular right out the gate. Yeah. And the backlog proved that it was very popular. And people I think now, too, our patrons are understanding that it does take a little while to get it out there due to capacity. It's not like we have a shelf out there that's got infinite space where we can just get rid of everything that comes in. We can't do that. We only have 44 lockers. We throw them all in there, and everything else that doesn't fit waits. And unfortunately, that's the problem.
A tower consists of
10.
So a lot of the families with kids who are in school and who need books for book reports and stuff, they don't use it because the time issue is a big, big problem for them.
That makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Just something that I see a lot is certain patrons, they'll request something that they're okay waiting with to go to Sartell, but other things they'll request to go to Waite Park. Yeah,
yes.
They are figuring it out. So, I mean, you know, as time goes on, I think they'll figure it out more. So,
yeah, they're definitely figuring it out that they can, I want it now, I better go to a branch. If I can wait, I just, yeah. Sorry, Karen.
I would add that part of the capacity issue, too, is it's 2-day-a-week delivery. All of our other branches have 5-day-a-week delivery. So that's a
yes.
significant difference. So it's not just the space that it's going in, it's the number of times that the driver is loading those lockers. The other thing that I would anticipate is it appears, if you look at this graph, post going to 2 days a week, that we will see a spike again in January, because this is following the same pattern that we see for library activity everywhere. Our biggest months are June, July, and January. So we will likely see a capacity issue occur again in January. Our biggest delivery day of the year is usually the day after Martin Luther King Day.
Mr. Chair, Karen, what is the increase of one additional day of service drop-off per week, cost-wise?
You did that. Wasn't it like $2,000 or something?
For annual, yeah, it's right around $2,025. Yeah. Don't quote me. I don't have it in front of me, but somewhere in that ballpark.
You increase your throughput, that's the best part.
And correct me if I'm wrong on this one, too. The second we had one day at Sartell, and we went to two. Then the city of Sartell, they're the ones that are picking that
right.
up.
Mm-hmm.
So this would have to be, or, you know, the city of Sartell's put that back at them, too, if they want to use it to 3 days.
Until we hit the 3-year.
Well, I'm just assuming about
right.
that. I don't know if that's, you know, part of it. I think it is, but, you know, so I don't know if the city or Great River is saying, you know, do you guys interested in increasing the delivery? Would that help? I don't know.
I can honestly say I haven't been approached by Mary saying, can we do this? So she is aware of it. I did have meetings with several people to try to figure out what we could do about the backlog, and that was one of them, is adding additional delivery days.
But Mary is not speaking for Sartell. She's speaking essentially.
Who should I be directing it to then, Zaria?
I think the biggest patrons for people, I mean, there's a level where it's the elderly that are using it, and for them the weight is not an issue, so they can continue to do that. If you're targeting it for the school-age kids, I think making a difference with a one-day delivery would be significant. But is that message getting to Mary and forward? Because it's clearly there, and there's a lot of frustration with it.
I haven't reached out and directly told her that, no.
I think because
it's sorry.
Randy and I just had a side conversation. There will be a new mayor in January, so it'd be a good opportunity to just initiate a conversation with
Although
the city.
Although the
at
new
that
mayor
point.
Is not in support of a library for Sartell.
Mm.
We haven't talked to him yet.
We have a database of borrowers,
yeah.
specifically Sartell.
We have a database of people who have selected Sartell as their primary pickup location, but anybody at any point can choose Sartell as a primary pickup location. So it's not everyone.
But it's quite a few. Maybe some sort of correspondence or whatever.
And myself, I would personally, again, this is my opinion, to reach out to the new mayor, regardless what that opinion is, our mayor, because I believe Karen said, He's a councilman right now, correct?
Yes.
Okay,
yep.
So.
And to Lee's point, too, I was going to talk about the survey later, but we did contract with St. Cloud State to do a survey on library services
mm-hmm.
overall, and the locker is listed as an option for
okay.
people to talk about. So.
All right, good. Any more discussion on that one? All right, anything else on the presentation? Otherwise, we're going to... Frank on the phone, huh?
Yeah. So we got to follow the checklist.
Yeah, so you have that checklist?
I think she's got your special
checklist. Yeah, I'll go coffee with cream.
You want more coffee?
I'm good. Thanks.
That's my wife's special.
It's in
the
air.
The recipe.
Barricade
on it.
Oh, wonderful.
She's here. She was sitting at the table when you came in.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay.
Good old boys.
I may have met her one
oh,
time.
Oh, sure. Then we'll go through
Fast
that.
Fast
What's
that agenda?
Yeah, we'll need
oh.
to make sure. She actually
has it. Thanks.
We want anybody who will think that the
need to learn about it.
Okay. Here's those are yellow.
Two of
them. Is that person still in city council?
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message.
So you just have to and he's done. Unless he would have become
the mayor.
I don't want
to
come back.
Self-aggrandizement. Self-aggrandizement.
I talked to him yesterday.
That's a big one, though.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, Frank, it's Karen. How are you?
Too smart for me.
Sorry about that. I picked up the phone and... cut you off.
Ah, that's okay. Randy hasn't quite closed yet. We were getting you on the phone, so he'll be going through the motions of that now. Can you hear everything okay?
give them mixed signals.
Yep, I can hear. Thanks.
Okay, great.
Hello, Frank. It's Randy.
Hi, Randy.
They're getting everything in order here, so we're waiting.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so I'm going to request a motion and to close the meeting at 6:32.
I so move.
I have a motion from Jim.
Second.
And I have a second from Mary. Any more discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. All right, now we're back on the recording, so we're going to reopen the meeting. At 6:49.
I think not.
Okay, so I gotta move up here. Yep. Okay, we're gonna need an action. So on, we go to 12.5, Library Service Coordinator Unit. We're gonna need a motion.
So moved.
Got a motion and got a second. Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 12.5, General Unit. That's on your table.
So move, Mr. Chair.
Got a motion for in a second. Moving right along. Any more discussion?
Two of them.
Julie.
Just a reminder, we have a contingent upon the sign.
Yeah, that's what I was
You're right.
Say.
I got.
Yeah,
I got
subject to getting this.
Yeah, it's subject to getting the signed signature by the other union.
By Library Service Corps.
I thought they hadn't signed yet. So.
Yeah. So I think we got a motion and a second, correct? Did we
yes.
get one?
Yes,
all right.
Can you have the motion read to us, please?
Please.
Mike made the motion.
Was that approval.
Of the general
contingent
unit.
Contingent upon receiving a sign.
The memorandum.
I was just checking on the wording. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So Mike, you want to?
Yes.
So you agree to the having?
I agree to that. Yes.
Okay. All right. So and we have a motion and we had a second. Mm-hmm. And Ed second. Okay. Any more discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Anything else on that one? Okay.
That one.
Now we're going to move back to staff reports. Executive director's report.
Okay. I've got quite a few things. You were forewarned. So I'm going to start with St. Cloud lease because that can be fairly brief. I did get a response to our latest counterproposal from the city yesterday. It was just an email response. We had offered an annual lease payment of $25,000. Their counter is $90,000. We had offered 2.25% biennium increase. They offered 2.75%. We offered to take on AMHS maintenance and that any changes to the system would be handled as a capital improvement. Their response was AMHS would be 100% Great River responsibility. They would like to go through the lease line by line after Thanksgiving. So it's not resolved. We continue on the path. I thought you'd want to know where we were at.
Karen,
may I?
Sure.
Then we just continue with the old contract,
yep,
correct?
Continue with the old contract.
If they're requesting $90,000, what do we have budgeted for lease?
Well, it's more complicated than that because the current lease, we pay them $17,000 for parking, $13,000 for parking, $18,000 for parking. We pay 100% of the custodial salaries and they reimburse us for 82%. And then they pay 100% of the building and maintenance and utilities for the building, and we reimburse them for 18%. So we're trying to clean up the lease. So the net effect is a little different than just how much is the lease. The proposal we sent over at $25,000 came out to roughly, I think it was $8 a square foot in that ballpark. The proposal we were responding to was at $100,000 for that amount, and that was roughly $13 per square foot. And right now we're paying in the area of $6 to $7 per square foot if you net everything out. So their proposal is still a significant cost increase. We'll continue to work through it. I think the good news is we're down to three things, and two of them are money. So we're getting close because there was a lot of things. the last proposal was rental of the meeting rooms and, oh gosh, I don't remember what else they threw in there. Yeah, it was more complicated than we wanted.
They wanted that little space, the coffee shop.
They wanted the coffee shop. We don't care who rents out the coffee shop as long as somebody eventually does. So the last meeting I had with the city administrator and the assistant finance director found us in the tunnel of the AMHS at the end. So it's been a very interesting and productive discussion. It's just a very slow-moving discussion. So I don't anticipate that we will have a new lease in place for 2019 at the pace that we're going, because you would have had to take action on something tonight in order for it to be in effect January 1st.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chair, Karen.
Yes.
So
Dwayne Jeffrey, he had his.
Mr. Chairman, is it being driven, do you believe, by bureaucrats, or is it being driven by the political element? I mean, is the mayor, you know, pro-Costco, pro-St. Cloud, pro-visitors? I can't believe that this would be.
My sense is it's being driven by finances. And in digging into it a little bit deeper, I think it's partly the way that the building bond was originally done. Like, there are things aging out that were income sources for the city that no longer are there going forward. And so they're trying to balance that on their books. And so we're working within that. They haven't outright said that, but it appears to be that there's something going on there.
You kind of answered my question was going to be, what is the financial situation of the city? Is, you know, they have a lot of expenditures recently, and I mean, it sounds like.
It's partly that too. They had several significant insurance claims that came out of what they hold as a reserve for this building, because they had the arson, they had the boiler, mm-hmm. and they had the chiller, and that was in the and they have a $100,000 deductible on that policy. And so each of those have hit that reserve in a very short amount of time, and their auditors want to keep that balance at a certain level. So that's, I'm sure, a factor as well.
And Karen, if I may, it seems like they really kind of like the old contract, because otherwise they'd be pushing more to get a new contract, would they not?
I don't know.
In my opinion. You know, it's like, because what's the negative and positive by us continuing? And I know what they are, but that's.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, those are long-term capital outlays, right? So how do they justify recouping that in a couple of years in a lease?
You know, it depends on who it depends on who you talk to at the city.
In the real world, if you were leasing a space and paying $13 a square foot, you wouldn't be dealing with that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. or you'd go find some other place to go, and it seems like they're holding us hostage.
We're still talking. They haven't evicted us. We got last year's bill settled, so
yeah.
It's moving forward. Just very slowly.
Commercial space here is significantly more than that per square foot.
Mm-hmm.
That's about 15. It's about 15 in this area.
Yeah, 16. Yeah.
But we're not commercial.
You have a question?
Also, realize you have two non-taxable entities negotiating a lease for space. So to bring it to the real situation, consider, say, $3.50 a square foot for taxes. That's not there.
Well, I think that we can bring that for some other discussion.
Once we actually have something for consideration.
I
want to let you know, you may have gotten a call. St. Cloud State began their calling on our user non-user survey this week. They report that the response was 3 times what they expected. They had guaranteed us 100 phone responses overall. They received 310, and 171 of those were from non-users. It's a representative sample from each of the 6 counties. The places where they felt were underrepresented were the 18 to 24 race. But they felt like they were close enough that it shouldn't be a problem for analysis. They're beginning the online component, which is the part that targets users specifically. We sent them 84,000 records from our database in-house, and they're releasing them in samples of 25,000, batches of 25,000 apiece, because that's all their survey software can handle. So they're expecting a very good result from those emails, and those will be finished by December 4th. So if you hear from people that they got a survey from the library, that's why.
Is that?
Oh, yep,
Mr. Yeah. Chair. Is Karen? Is that an e-survey or?
They paid for phone numbers and they called people, and they're using that same script for users and sending that out via email.
Okay. Well, I have it right here. I got it today, actually.
Oh, good.
It says SCSU Survey Research, Central Minnesota Public Library Users Study. We are conducting a study on public library use in Central Minnesota. You're invited to participate by clicking on this link. The survey will take 5 to 10 minutes.
And they said with the phone calls, it was running about 6 to 7. So they were pretty
How
happy.
How did she get that? I didn't hear.
Oh.
Was that by email? Or
yes, email.
Yep.
Came to her. It's a voice.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah.
She's well connected. You
Mr.
Know.
Chairman, yeah. I just got a message too and said, why didn't you contribute to the annual appeal?
A quick announcement. There will be a change in procedure at the St. Cloud Public Library starting on Monday. All visitors will be asked to sign in at the reception desk in the circulation workroom. If you're going to be in the staff area, you'll be given a lanyard with a visitor or a volunteer badge and be expected to wear it in the building. If you don't have it on, you'll probably be stopped. This is a security measure because there's so many people coming in and out, especially with this Friends bookstore, that we just felt like the staff felt like this was a good next step. So don't be surprised if you get stopped coming through. And they'll be happy to help you if you're not sure where to go or what to do.
So, Mr. Chair, Karen, is that going to be handed back then as people leave at the
front desk? I believe
desk?
So. I just got the email today. I'm not the one doing it, but this next issue also will kind of bleed into a later action. Two of the later action items. One, the RLBSS proposal, and one, the CMLE committee appointments.
Karen,
so,
I'm
yep.
sorry to interrupt you, but will they have to sign out too? If you're signing
I believe
in people,
so.
Then we have to sign them out too?
I believe so.
That's a lot of work.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, they have to turn their badges back in. I'm sure they will streamline the process because that's what they do.
Okay.
Regional library basic system support is our main source of state funding. There is a proposal for legislative support going into the next legislative session later on the agenda. What I want you to know about is related to the Council of Regional Public Library System Administrators discussion and the multi-type directors discussion that is on top of that proposal. There's a separate work group of all of those directors getting together, working with the Minnesota Library Association lobbyists to try to draft new legislation around regional library systems in order to simplify how funding is asked for at the state level. So there's regional library basic system support, there's multi-type funding, we have regional library telecommunications aid. All three of those are in separate statutes. So when the lobbyist goes to the E12 committee and it's end of session, they're asked, which one do you want? Because they're three different line items. The goal is to make them one line item. That discussion has been supported by both the regional public library systems and most of the multi-type directors. So one of the things that happened is one of the multi-type directors after our July meeting was very upset that we were even talking about it. And since then, her board has passed a resolution to remove their contribution to the Minnesota Library Association lobbyist. So not just a little bit upset. I mean, there's a substantial opposition to this in a different area of the state. On the regional public library system side, I think I mentioned at the last meeting, I was concerned about it moving forward too quickly because this is a pretty substantial overhaul and we don't have a final draft and this has to go to the legislature in January. And I feel like this board needs to know what's in there before we can lend support to it. In front of you, there is an example of the most latest draft. I received this Friday. We will be getting together as a group of library directors on December 14th and with the lobbyists to talk it through once again. I continue to have some concerns about it. One of the most substantive changes that's being proposed is the governance of multi-type systems. Currently, this is why you care. Mary's been on the CMLE board for a while, so she understands the multi-type structure probably best of everyone here. Currently, CMLE is our Great Rivers multi-type. They also serve East Central Regional Library. On that board are 5 appointees from Great River, 2 appointees from East Central, and then a public library representative, a special library representative, a school library representative, academic library representative. It's a big board, $170,000-ish dollar budget. But Great River has almost half of the board members as seats as appointees from Great River. This would change that structure completely. And part of it addresses also the other systems that are merged because they share boundaries with their public library and multi-type. So I am a little uncomfortable on how quickly they're trying to move this forward because there's a lot of issues at hand, and clearly we don't have consensus from the northern part of the state on the issue in particular. I have been working with some other regional public library system directors who also share concerns. So I wanted you to know about this, especially as we think about appointees to the CMLE board next year. And if, for those of you who have been involved with CMLE, if you have opinions on where we should be pushing for multi-type governance, multi-type funding, there's an opportunity to talk about that as well. It would be helpful to me to have a sense of what this board thinks going into that discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Mayor.
Question for Karen. The one region that is not supportive, what's their rationale and who are they?
It's Northern Lights Library Network. They are the multi-type that serves 4 regional libraries in the northwest corner of the state. So they serve Northwest Regional Library, headquartered in Thief River Falls, Lake Agassiz Regional Library, headquartered in Moorhead, Kichigami Regional Library, headquartered in Pine River, and Viking Library System, headquartered in Fergus Falls.
That far south, okay.
Yeah, it's just that northern quarter of the state. I'm not sure that I could say for certain what it is that they oppose. I can say that in the July meeting when we had the joint discussion, the statement was made is, if you touch the statute, I am not being involved. And so it was just a blanket
no,
without even talking about what would change in the statute. That was before we said
and
we were going to
support from their board, their libraries.
The resolution that was passed by their multi-type library board, and the chair of that board also serves on the Lake Agassiz Regional Library Board. So there is some overlap. There's a lot of internal politics that I have just topical knowledge of. So. It's a lot more complex than what we're looking at here.
Mr. Chair, Karen, was it something to do with the net tax capacity or?
No, that RLBSS language is something that there's complete consensus around the state. I would anticipate it's probably too soon to say that because not all regional library boards have met. Bless you. But I can say that the legislative chair currently for MLA and the legislative chair for next year from MLA are both represent multi-type libraries. This one, Ann Walker Smalley, is the MLA chair this year. She's the director of MetroNet, which is only a multi-type library. And the incoming chair is Ann Hokinson, who oversees TDS, which is a shared multi-type and regional library system. And they are spearheading a lot of what's going on here.
So is there kingdom trouble?
Possibly.
All right. I mean, either losing their kingdoms or adding to them? Or
you know, if you go back in multi-type history, there was talk at one time of merging all multi-types with their regional library systems. I think there's
some
a fear,
are.
And some are, and that happens. And for some of them, that happened after that legislative audit report. I don't know if that was why, but it was the timing of it. So I suspect there's some fear of job security to some degree. But if I don't know how far to dig into this multi-type issue. I'm personally uncomfortable with asking this board to support something for the next legislative session without you having an opportunity to look at it and support it.
Well, then perhaps we don't.
I mean, we're looking at a house that's completely rearranged and committee's chairs are all different now, so we don't even know who the committee chair is going to be to work with.
Right.
So we say no for now. Right.
Or do we just table it?
Lee? Yeah.
I mean, I can say that the Great River Board wants to see the final draft before lending their support. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with that.
I would
because
certainly
it would be
with
consistent
that.
With what I've said until this point.
So my suggestion is that we table it until we do see the final draft, if everyone's okay with that.
Well, Mr. Chair, we could request a table with the agreement that we see the final draft before we make judgment. I mean, to reinforce that?
Mm-hmm.
No? Yes? Don't
I think
need to?
This is enough for me to communicate the board's intent unless there's somebody who wants to do something more drastic in either direction.
Well, this is not an action item.
No, it is not. It's just part of my report.
Right. Any more discussion on that one?
We'll just have Governor-elect Walz fix
meeting.
This problem.
Okay, Karen, keep going.
Okay. I should mention, and this is not controversial, in here is also a proposal to change RLTA funding a bit so that if there is funds not spent after category and category one and category two telecommunications requests are put through, then additional telecommunications expenditures from regional public libraries can be submitted, and if that still doesn't use up the fund, it would come back through the regional library basic system support formula as just direct aid to libraries. Because right now, telecommunications costs are actually running a bit under what's appropriated. That's partly due to systems like ours where we have a reserve from the way the expenditures and the grant worked before. And going forward, that's no longer going to be true. So we're still using up our reserves for telecommunications aids, but at a state level, those total dollars will need to be used for telecommunications costs in other areas, but on one given budget cycle, they may not be expended completely. So we want to be able to flex that into public library service. And I don't know if that's going to be the final draft, but that's part of this proposal. So if you look at on. It's complicated language because this is the actual bill draft. On page 6, it says, if sufficient funds remain after meeting category 1 and 2 needs in the funding year, aid may be used for other regional public library technology, network infrastructure, security, and telecommunication services. And then
what line are you reading?
6.1.5 through 6.1.7.
Thank you.
Or 0.17. And then if you go to the next page, 7.3, excess telecommunication aid transfer. If the commissioner determines there's any amount unawarded, it would come back to public libraries in the form of basic aid.
What are you talking about? What does that mean?
So
does that mean use it or lose it? And if we don't use it, telecommunication-wise, it comes back to us after some bureaucratic voodoo economics?
Right. Because at one point last year, when they were realizing there was going to be unexpended aid this budget cycle, there was a legislative proposal to move that into school funding. And
K-12.
Yeah.
Not us.
Right. And so they're trying to keep it in-house twofold. One, because it's public library money. But two, at the state level, that is our matching grant for federal dollars. So if we receive less state money for public libraries, we also receive less federal money for public libraries. So it felt like we needed to keep it budget neutral, if possible, at the state level in order to maintain.
Well, how much money are we talking about?
I haven't gotten a final dollar amount yet.
Voodoo.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Anything else, Karen?
Not on that.
All right.
I hate that. Absolutely hate it.
Take your time.
No,
your
building
time.
Reports. Do you want to go to that? Or where are we at on the agenda?
Management reports, strategic plan.
Yeah, I don't have anything new on the management reports.
Building reports?
Building reports, I have two new things.
Okay.
Howard Lake, there was some note about concerns with air quality. We did get an update from the city administrator yesterday, and they have authorized a vendor to go ahead and to perform the inspection, and with that came in ask for an ETA on inspection, and they haven't received it. So they have continued to move forward with air quality inspections at Howard Lake. And then at St. Cloud, I did send an update out. The AMHS belt finally broke last week. We've been working on getting bids. We went with a different company locally. The city signed off on it today. And the supplier for the belt is going to be the vendor that actually installs it rather than TechLogic, who's the vendor for the machine. It came in at about two-thirds cost of what the other bids came in on. So we did a lot of homework to find out who that vendor was, and we were successful.
And if I may, Karen, I may have asked, do we have all the contracts back from all the libraries?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Except St. Cloud.
Got me. You got me. All right.
Chairman?
Jim.
A couple comments. First of all, Julie's report, with staff levying changes, staff level changes, I think it's marvelous that you were cut hours in the bureaucratic business, government. We cut hours and we're saving money. Good job. And then the Minnesota pay equity report that came back okay. We were really concerned about that earlier. Did we make those changes before this came back, or do we have to make any changes because they accepted it?
No, we had resubmitted, so we did the classifications that were approved for certain positions. So by resubmitting that, it has been now approved and stated that it's in compliance. So we don't have to do this again for 3 years.
Okay, 'cause that's good news.
It is good news.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
All right.
And that was a result of the consultant's work, right?
Yes, the consultant helped us with the classification and our resubmission.
Okay, thank you.
Just one more question?
Mr.
On Jamie's report, they talk about telescopes, and they talk about these kits, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
18 additional telescopes were purchased. Thanks. Okay. Page 32.
Yep.
18 additional telescopes have been purchased thanks to a grant from Buffalo. That's good news also.
Yeah, we were lucky that the Rotary, the gentleman from the Rotary who was so excited about bringing us one telescope actually went around soliciting donations to do it 19 times. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know, Mr. Chair, WCCO does somebody on CCO.
Mike Lynch.
Does the star gazing thing.
Mike Lynch. WCCO Radio.
Yeah. They should come out, and maybe we could get some donation from them, too. I wonder.
All right.
Schools. He comes to Volcano Township.
Nature Center.
Yeah.
Every year. Chair Karen, I see in Buffalo they lost internet access for a week and a half.
Yeah.
Is that acceptable?
No.
No, but out of our control because it's a state provided line. It's not our vendor's line, it's the line going to.
I get that.
Yeah.
But our IT services doesn't have another level of
redundancy back.
I can check with Jay. I don't know.
I can't imagine they could have really operated very well for a week and a half.
Yeah, it's state of, it could very well be the same people handling the driver's license stuff.
I wasn't going to say
that. I don't know for certain, but I suspect they work very close proximity.
Okay, anything else on the building reports?
No. Nope.
All right, staff recognition report.
Since Aaron's still here, I would be remiss in not pointing out that Aaron will have been here 10 years on December 1st. Congratulations to Aaron.
You're tougher than you look.
You said it just right.
I have a question about, I see that the library coordinator at Monticello is retiring, right?
She resigned. She
resigned. Okay, I don't see her name on here for staff recognition report. Okay, that's
no. This is only report of people who had been here 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 25, 30, or if they retire.
Okay.
So you would likely not see her on the report unless she actually retired.
Okay.
All right, third quarter statistics.
Not a lot new there. Still watching borrower numbers. Right. Hope that survey
How
tells
about
us something.
9.6 Ask Minnesota report.
This is provided to us through Minitex. AskMin's our chat service, and they gave us a report every year of how it looks at the state level. So it's provided for your information.
Anything else, Karen?
Nope.
All right, on the committee reports, Finance Committee.
We met earlier today, Mr. Chair and members. What did we do?
Nothing.
The cheesecake.
Cheesecake, and we talked. We let Jim move every item. So, we reviewed the third quarter financial report. We're at 68.8% out of our year because of we're a little low. Thank you, Aaron.
On budget.
We're a little under where we should be. We should be right around the 75% mark, obviously, for the third quarter, but we're at 68 points. I think it was 68.86.
And we are considering taking $150,000 to $175,000 from our savings and investing hit differently, and that will come to the board. It was encouraged by the finance committee, and that will be coming back to us in January. More details about that. Approved a new policy for the uncollectible debt that we will remove from the system anything that's over 7 years old. And we've had three fund designation requests, fund development training, publicity and printing, and donor database enhancement that we approved all of our out of our operating surplus. And that information is provided to all of you. So any questions?
I'll ask for a motion.
Second.
And I got a motion and a second. Any more discussion on the finance committee?
Not Mike.
I have a question, Mr. Chair. Since one is talking about policies and one is talking about fund designations, does that need to be separated? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any more discussion? Not those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carried. Fund development committee.
Laura was nominated, but that was after she left the room and told me she wasn't coming. So, so I don't know if Jane or Mary wants to add a recap.
You're up.
I'm kind of blank here. We discussed a lot of different strategies and a lot of the different ways of the how we could get the funds, and also that we looked at a database possibly to find people that have passed on so we don't request funds from them. And you're not recommending that at this time. There was some staff members, husbands or that had passed on, and we asked for funds from them, and they were quite upset about it. But we're not going to, at this time, because it's over $1,000 to get this database, and it's not acceptable. It's not a very accurate database. Our next meeting, we're going to have wine and cheese.
I don't know.
Thank you notes.
I'll have to meet off-site.
Thank you notes to the people that have donated over. I'm not sure the amount. Can you help me out with that, Brenda? $100. We're going to, all the board members of the Fund Development Board are going to sign those thank you cards to them. Brianne's going to be calling the large, the people that have donated over $1,000, directly call them. She's also made contact with people that have donated large amounts in the past, has given them a phone call just to make contact, not to ask for a donation at this time. Reports on that. Fundraisings have been going well. We were a little bit under at the time, but we're catching up fast. And we just had that one that was in somebody's will that we just got a large amount.
Oh, damn it. What are you missing?
Good job.
Thank you, Jim. Any more discussion?
I have a question with regard to our committees that submit verbal reports. Should it be a written report also? What is the definition? What committees have to submit verbal reports and or written reports? And this is, I mean, we start the finance committee, we set that committee up just, you know, in these last couple of years. They have a written report. We have a written report from the personnel committee. Is it based on function or activities they have, or how is that defined? Who has to submit a written report?
When you say written report, do you mean?
Well, like
having
a written report in our minutes, we have a written report from the finance committee and the personnel committee.
Oh.
Should we have a written report from the fund committee and from the security committee?
Would you like me to answer that?
Go ahead.
I think I know the answer. The difference is the personnel and the finance committee are standing committees of the board. The other two are ad hoc committees who aren't recognized officially in the bylaws. And they both include staff and board members. So they're not just board members. Neither of those committees have a majority of the board or a quorum of the board. So that puts them at a little different standard, too.
Okay.
They probably keep the minutes of their meetings.
We do.
So those would be available.
Yeah.
They would
My
be
guess.
If you want to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And they do get posted for staff. I can have someone send them out once they're approved by the committees if you want to change that practice. I'm open to whatever the board desires.
Mr. Chair, but to your point, that's not a bad idea. Mm-hmm. We get verbal, and all we get is one sentence in the minutes. It's kind of hard to remember, you know, what was said.
Would we have to change our bylaws for that or not?
No, perhaps not.
We could include it as, it probably wouldn't be included in the same way. I don't know. We'd have to look at it.
They wouldn't be presented as minutes for approval.
Right. They wouldn't be approved outside of the report being approved.
So you explained it very well. You said it's an ad hoc committee and a standing mm-hmm. committee. The two distinctions are there.
Okay.
But we could still request summary of activities or
sure.
something.
So Mr. Chair, isn't that already done in the minutes that's being taken today? So we can just
no.
read the minutes tonight?
To my point, you know, we get one sentence.
Right.
Which doesn't really tell us
the summary
much.
That those go into the minutes is
yep.
not as extensive
full report, yep.
On the flip side, we've had other ad hoc committees that we might not want that level of detail included in a public document. For example, the library assessment committee, there were a lot of behind the scenes negotiations almost type discussions. The union negotiations would be considered an ad hoc committee as well. So I don't know that we could make a uniform statement that every committee would include a written report. It might not be appropriate.
For more discussion, we'll take that. Okay. Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Board, verbal.
I wasn't there.
I wasn't there. You're nominated.
What?
Lee, you were there.
A written report.
Give us your report. I don't have a written report. But
tell us a story then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Short story.
Something I never did. They have a system where you can do a 5-minute book report that was on the internet.
I needed to be a rock star.
And I did two of them. I did one called Walking Point, which is written by Bob Kunkel, who was ran our jail for 20 years, a Vietnam vet, and it's about his military experience. And the other report was Grapes of Wrath, which is especially pertinent, even though it's 70-some years old, because it's really about immigration. And while the rest of the meeting was my first meeting ever, but in a nutshell, I got drafted to do those, and it was a more pleasant experience than I anticipated.
And it was very well done.
Oh, you listened to them?
I did.
Yeah. Boy.
Thank you.
I hope life improves for you.
Well, the book's on my list, so. Okay.
Any more discussion on that? Okay. And now we're going to skip 11. We're going to go to new business. Regional Library Basic System Support. We talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that. In front of you, there's also two separate tables. So for those of you who have been on the board for a while, you might remember a similar request a couple of years ago. The Council of Regional Public Library System Administrators are all of the directors of the 12 regional systems. We got together with the Metro Area Library Directors, or a subcommittee of them, to talk about what a legislative request should be for state library funding. We've been trying to stabilize the formula for a couple years. This will be the third legislative cycle we're moving forward with a request. In front of you is what that request would look like based on that recommendation from that group. $3 million would get you and a shift to increase basic and reduce equalization would result in today's formula, a change in dollar value as seen in the column on the right-hand side. So Great River, under that formula proposal, would receive roughly $170,000 under today's numbers of the $3 million. So that formula change would hold everyone harmless in the 12 systems and result in less fluctuation from year to year. We would also be asking that the calculation date would be sooner, so we'd actually have a dollar figure before we set our budget. And and it would increase the total amount by $3 million. The reason you have the two other tables is there are people at the table who think, even though hold harmless is a wonderful idea, that maybe it's time to ask for additional funding as well. So there's a $4 million calculation and a $5 million calculation. And you can see the net result using those new figures. Great River is highlighted in blue. So the first thing I need from this board is whether you support moving forward with a formula change with a $3 million increase. All regional library boards are being asked to support that. before going into the next legislative session. Several of them have already approved it. And then the second question is, would you support additional funds and at what level? Because in order for this to be successful, people at this table have to be willing to ask your own legislature at home, your own county board folks to support it, and I don't know what that looks like in your six different counties. And so from this board, I need to know whether we would want to pursue a higher dollar amount. I mean, of course, everybody wants more money, but is that realistic politically?
So the first one would be the $3 million that you proposed, or they proposed on the page 53 or 54, whatever.
Correct.
It is. Yeah. 55.
Mr. Chairman, a couple questions. First of all, should the Finance Committee have been seen this first? Second of all, this is the first time it's been proposed. Should it be held off until January for approval?
That's not how we've used it in the done it in
now
the
we
past.
We just did that principle with regard to the our Finance Committee. We talked about the second about the policy. What is that? About the $150,000.
Correct, because it's a finance policy. This is a legislative proposal.
Okay.
So it's different than internal Great River finances. It impacts our finances, without a doubt, but it is not, it's not something that's defined in the charge of the Finance Committee.
Mr. Chairman, does this $3 million request affect the county's contribution as well? They
if
all potentially affect the county contributions?
Yes, in a way that they would support, I would think, because we would receive more state funding, so it would reduce the burden at the county level.
Which obviously, and my point, Mr. Chairman, is asking a question, is you commissioners really need to weigh in on that. I mean, it's one thing for the board to support it. They're the ones that got to deal with the financial.
And
I don't know why you want, but.
And that's a good question. They say for sure that would reduce the amount that each county would have. Is that
if you have more state aid?
I'm assuming that, but
right.
I suppose.
I mean, you could choose to have $200,000 more in the budget, but that would be set through the normal budget process. Last year, that's not what you did.
No, but I'm saying the state could put something in there. Okay, we're going to give each county X amount of dollars, but you're going to have to probably put a match in. I don't know if they can do
well,
that.
Well, this is a maintenance of effort funding, so the counties are caught with that.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, maybe in the short term it would help the counties, but what is the long term?
Long term, if the formula is stabilized, it's likely that Great River would also stabilize. Under the current formula, we saw a big bump last year, but this year that didn't happen again. And we have a couple of counties that will likely lose equalization dollars in the next couple of years. Because if you look back to 2008, we did not receive funding for two of the counties through equalization. So if you shift dollars out of equalization, it actually stabilizes the number at today's number rather than shifting those dollars out. Because the total amount has never changed, even though our amount at Great River has changed.
So, yeah, I guess I'm
with you.
It's a little scary because any time you get more money, it all feels good, but then in the long run, you could get caught with
comes
a different kind
somewhere
of formula or whatever and hurting us smaller counties, really.
And Mr. Chairman, remember the legislature giveth and the legislature taketh away. They could increase this funding and take away your county aid funding,
yeah.
Highway transportation fund. And that's why, not to pass the buck, but really it's a commissioner decision, in my opinion, more than a board decision.
We're always a little bit cautious in our county to take
before
more money.
And I'm reading this proposal twice now, and it's kind of a little
yeah,
gray
it's
area.
Written. It
I don't know.
I didn't anticipate there'd be this many questions because it's very similar to what the board passed 2 years ago. But if you're feeling like you don't want to support it, I can say that. But that means there will be likely no state requests for additional public library funds going
forward.
Is this
a drop dead today, or do we have 30 days? Or
if you want to have a special meeting to talk about it more in December, we can.
If I may, Karen, the last, even though we supported it, nothing ever came about.
Nothing ever came about.
And that's the question. So we supported
it. My goal was to get you done today
for the rest of the year. But nothing came about at the legislature, so we never knew what's happening, see? So maybe that's why we didn't question it, because we're not going to get it. But now it looks like maybe we might, and now that's kind of why.
I don't know that it's guaranteed. One of the reasons it didn't pass last time is not because it didn't make it all the way through the legislature. It was almost in the E-12 bill. It was pulled out at the last minute by the committee, partly because it was never included in the governor's budget. And I don't know, under this governor, whether it will be included in the governor's budget.
Oh, yeah, I think it will be.
Yeah, this will be.
And Mr. Chairman, if I were... if Lee let me be a commissioner for 5 minutes, I'd support it, because again, a lot's going to happen, or I could take it for 10 minutes. A lot's going to happen between now and April, May. So I would think you could certainly start by supporting this, and it's going to evolve into something different that we could act on in January, February, or March. This is not going to happen until April. I don't care who the governor is.
Right.
That's
the
process the way it is. So we could. I guess we, the board, the county commissioners, could say, yep, let's support this, and then see how it evolves, and at any point you could withdraw the support.
Good point.
Mr. Chair.
Is that a motion?
Well, I don't know if I'm the one to make the motion, because Lee gave me, I'm time.
You still got time.
Oh, I still got time. Then I'll make that motion.
All right, I have a motion to...
What's the motion,
the
please?
Motion would be to... accept the proposal from the regional library basic system, I'm assuming.
And how much?
Right?
The $3 million?
The $3 million? Well, the other two would be additional.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, we don't want to go
with
them.
Prefer that separate.
Too. Yeah, we'd go.
I was talking about the $3 million.
Okay. I'll second that.
Okay, we have a second. Any more discussion? Mary.
Mr. Chair. So what about the $4 million and the $5 million? Is that just us, or that has to pass through, receive approval from the other participants?
And if I may, this, I think that's something additional that they may, you know, slide in under if we agree to that. The $3 million is what they're giving us to look at right now. Am I not correct on that?
Right.
Okay.
Well, Karen,
the $3 million is one I would anticipate all 12 systems will pass.
Yeah.
The $4 million question, I expressed some of these concerns at the table. There are people who think now is the time. You haven't had an increase in 10 years. Now's you need to champion and ask for as much as you can. I recognize that there's another side to that, and that's why I wanted this board to take a look at it.
So what are you recommending?
Well, right now I'd like the motion on the $3 million,
yeah.
And then maybe we can have a discussion on the other two after the fact. So we have a motion and
no,
a second.
No, that's not correct, is it?
Yeah,
you
made a motion on
that's
the $3 million.
I know. In a second. Well, then, point of discussion. What about $4 or $5 million?
We can bring that up after this passes.
Yeah, that's not the motion.
That's not the motion.
I understand.
But
that.
I understand your point of discussion.
You could amend the motion.
I'm not willing to do that without the information. So, all right then.
What we have on the table, though, again, you can oppose. And if we have a majority opposes it, we can move on from that also.
Thank you.
So we have a motion and a second.
Yep.
Any more discussion? If not, those in favor of the $3 million proposal, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Any more discussion on the any more
time's
discussion
up
on the $4 or $5 million? That would we want to pursue that? We could probably do that. We don't have right now. That would be maybe January, February, if we do that.
I'm reporting back as it's happening. The lobbyist is looking for it for January, so that's why the time is the way it is.
I think we just stay with the $3 million. That's with the motion, and we move on.
Hey, Mr. Chair, being last year that the governor vetoed, or this year vetoed everything, and the mad rush is going to be in with the new governor, I don't think it's a go-for-broke type situation. Three is reasonable and probably doable. You start going for broke, and pretty soon you'll get nothing, because there's going to be so many old issues that have to be dealt with right off the bat. And since the House flipped, new governor, everything, it might be a little more chaotic than the person believes. And this is a budget year per se, so it might get lost.
So you're saying a lot more hands will be out this time of the year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I try to caution people when they go down there on a budget year to get asked too much. You know, bonding year you go for broke, budget year you kind of, you know, a small little ask.
Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange Board appointment discussion. Does that leave?
I will inform the board that Bernice Burns is terming off at the end of the year. She was one of the Great River appointees. So we will need someone to replace her going into January. We can do the appointments in January with the other committee appointments, but my question for the board is, do we want to continue to try to put Great River board members on that committee, which is our new practice and follows what ESAL does, or do we want to use some of those five seats to appoint citizen folks, and if we can get them? I'm not sure which way to go with that.
And we need to have this recommended by the end of this year?
January. But if we're going to have a citizen appointment for January, we need to start looking for a citizen appointment.
I think there's some importance to having some continuity between the board and that board, in my opinion. And that's why we do it that way. And I think that's important to have that continuity.
I agree.
Okay.
More discussion on that? All right. You have that?
That works for me.
Okay. And then we're going to next item, 12.3, service animals policy revision. We'll need a motion.
There's one correction to it.
That's on page, 57?
It's a tiny typo that a staff member found when reading the packet. If you look at the very bottom, it says staff may ask the following two questions. It should say staff may ask the following two questions. So with that correction.
So noted. With the correction, I need a motion, please.
I so move.
I have a motion and a second. I didn't get a second. I should say I need a second. Okay. I have a second from Dan. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, statutorily, this follows some of the statutes.
This is under advice of legal counsel.
Okay.
Any more discussion?
Mr. Chair, I had a question. Says a service animal is defined as a dog. There's other animals like horses, reptiles.
Pigs.
So it, right. So do you, so is dog the correct?
This I asked the legal counsel to review this based on the recent change to Minnesota statute. This was his recommendation, or those two changes.
Okay.
And it's my understanding that this is in compliance.
Okay. And then any kind of service animals that you can have, horses, dogs, we're not going to limit anything from coming in the door? Because you can't ask people why.
Right. If there's something other than a dog, then we are in a position where we could.
Okay.
So they're saying what they only will do is allow dogs under this provision.
Okay.
Per the state of Minnesota, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody wants to bring a horse in, well, we can question that.
Because they were bringing horses on planes.
Right. This is why, well, and the planes may not have been in Minnesota. This is in compliance with Minnesota statute.
Okay.
I can, Mr. Chairman, I can see Commissioner Pop is really interested if he can bring a cow at the next meeting.
Mr. Chair.
Bring your favorite.
Yeah, it is.
I again have the issue with the dog thing because I think a service animal is not specifically a dog.
I can ask them to review it again if you want to look at this in January.
We can bring it back.
It's not urgent.
Because we are really struggling with this, but that's at the federal level at the VA. And basically what she said is correct. As long as you have something stating that it is a service animal with certification that it went through some kind of training and stuff, and it fulfills a certain need, whether physical or emotional, you can't deny entrance.
So are we okay with tabling this till January? Because it's not a pressing item.
Yeah, it's not.
No.
Sounds good.
No?
No, I don't mind you tabling it. God, I'm so damn confused now.
Well, it's just we're working with whether Eddie can bring a cow or not.
Service cow.
So we're
just bring the, just bring the steaks in.
Okay.
Just the steak.
So at this time on the
throw in our T-bone, huh? Mr. Chairman, I move to table this motion until January.
Second.
Any more discussion?
Motion table is not discussable.
All right. We're not going to discuss it anymore.
Be quiet.
Farewell. We're moving on to farewell to department members. Departing members, department members.
That's
who's departing? Do we know anybody who's
nearly departing? Yeah, he's got to drop a couple bombs on the way out the door, though.
Is he part of this?
Do we need to vote on the motion to table?
No.
Okay. No discussion.
No. Please, no. I've not heard that before. As a department chair, I would say yes.
I thought you have to vote on a motion.
Well, let's just humor, yes. Mr. Chairman. Let's vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
There.
Now we're done. We're off the cows. Okay. Farewell to.
Such a stickler.
Yeah. Farewell to departing members. I'm having a hard time with it.
Departing.
And that's
been deporting, you mean?
Departing, yeah. And that would be anyone that we know of.
What? Do we know?
Do we know?
I hope we have a better process, Mr. Chairman. Up at this point
I'm
of the agenda.
Sure
I think we do.
I think I am departing. I was fired.
Are we? Do we have? Do you want to have a discussion? I think it's Mr. Jim is leaving us here, and this is his last meeting.
Well, he brought cake for Christ's sake. We ought to recognize him.
Does anyone have any kind words?
Thank you.
Come on, that's asking a lot.
No, that's a sincere thank you for.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman,
it's
an easy job for him. His brother's a priest.
Mr. Chairman, I would want to recognize.
My son is a priest.
Oh, your son is a priest.
Mr. Chairman, I would want to recognize Jim's detail, and certainly the finance was a strength that he brought.
Yes, he was.
And even though sometimes it irritated some members, I always appreciated it.
And so do I.
Despite who was sitting around me. But seriously, Jim's attention to detail was always, certainly, I appreciated it.
He's definitely an asset to the board, Jim.
Yep. Thanks, Jim.
And your attention to detail of finance and just your support of the community and the libraries in general and your passion for this, Claire. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Jim kind of mentored me when I came on the board, and he always sat by me, but tonight he chose not to sit by me. I don't know what that means, but
I wanted you to deal with the green color.
I think I'm on my own now.
And you're on the end.
Anyway, so I do appreciate Jim because he really did help me when I came on the board, and I appreciated that because once you come on this board, it's all new. It's a learning curve, and he kind of helped me with that, and I appreciate it, so I'm going to miss him. So thank you, Jim.
I want to say again, thank you. This is the first committee I've ever been on that I did not volunteer to be on. I was asked to be on. I was honored to be asked. I've been an officer for the past many years, about 4 years, 5 years as treasurer, 1 year as secretary. It's incredible. I thank you for your confidence and belief and trust in me. During the years I've been here, we've gone through the calculator, which created a lot of uproar, a lot of anxiety among employees. But thanks to Karen and the staff, we no longer hear about the term calculator. We had a lot of we had experience with executive director who took a leave of absence for medical leave, and that was tough for us to handle. And then we finally needed a replacement. The replacement process went very well. We did accomplish a great thing there. We hired Karen. I think she's unbelievable as our executive director. We, in the time, we've also set up a finance committee, a fundraising committee, a security committee. And most of all, most important all, tonight I was told by one of the main senior staff that with Karen as our executive director, the whole atmosphere of this library system has changed. And this is years before she became executive. This person said that people are happy to come to work. And they're going to have a happy Thanksgiving this year because of the work we've done on this committee. And I'd like to finish with the Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind always be at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jim.
And if you may, Jim, I have a little bit of a...
We're going to take a picture, too.
We're going to take a picture.
Needs to be done.
And this is a little certificate that you have for your outstanding services for the library. There you go.
$2.
Thanks, Jim.
How long is the term, Patty?
Yeah, I got a question. Did Spencer bring cheesecake when he retired?
No, he did not. You have to give him a hard time about that.
Doc went up. I got one on Spencer.
Jim has set the bar very high. In many, many different ways.
And there's more cheesecake there if somebody wants.
Oh, there's a closing sheet. I'm like, for 9 years? I didn't commit for 9 years.
All right, let's do open forum for the directors. I'll just point and go around. Does anybody else have anything to say? Fran.
Happy Thanksgiving. And Merry Christmas.
Dan.
Happy New Year.
One more point. Jim, thank you. I really enjoy serving with members that come prepared and read the packet. I've served in the past with people that didn't read the packet and just drove me nuts. Always prepared. Thank you.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Same here. Thank you, Jim.
Happy Thanksgiving and thank you.
Well, God has really blessed me and I'm very appreciative of all the gifts he's given me and it's my job to share those gifts with others.
Bless you.
Holidays, and who's going to replace Jim?
Mike knows. No.
is it part of your job to bring the next person in when
it's
you
Mike's
want to retire?
Job. But if you know people who live in Wright County, I bet Wright County is looking
Jim's twin brother.
Oh! clone him.
We need to get more diversity here. I could not find a halal or kosher turkey anywhere in St. Cloud, so I had to travel to Minneapolis to get
one. Oh, no.
Which was very sad.
I'll even give you the opportunity. You have anything to say? I'm good too. Karen?
Thanks to Jim. The place would not be the same without him being here the last 9 years.
Well, one year and he can come back, right?
Right.
I really don't care about
right
for a year.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the unfinished business, Executive Director Annual Evaluation.
I don't think so.
You know what? We're going to do one other thing here. Are we going to have a December meeting?
I can't tell.
I don't believe we need one, but all right, so there will be no December 2018 meeting.
Good. You can have one. I won't
all
be
right,
here.
All right. Thank you.
We're going to go on to item 11.1. We're going to close the meeting for the employee performance review of Executive Director Karen Punzik. Pursuit to Statute 13D.05, Subdivision 3A. I'll need a motion.
So moved.
And a second to close the meeting. I got a motion and a second. Any more discussion? And the time is 7:57. There we go.
All right. Patty's going to do
Oh, did I say that? Oh, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So I'm going to ask for a motion to reopen the meeting, and I'll need a second.
So moved.
Second. I have a motion from Mike and a second from Wayne, and we are resuming to opening the meeting at 8:27. They gave me great notes here to follow here, so.
She wants these back, right?
Oh, yeah, we'll need them back.
So anyway, I have to read this off. We reviewed the performance of Karen, Executive Director, on 6 performance areas, including strategic planning, organizational communication, community leadership, relationship with the board, management of human resources, and financial management. Karen met or exceeded requirements in all areas.
All of those.
Are we agreed upon that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so I have... So, And I think Karen's going to be, so we'll give these all back to Karen, and then we're going to move right to...
Being adjourned.
Yes.
I will need signatures.
At 8:28.